and create a connection with the viewers on a theme that is rarely, if ever, addressed in cinema, particularly in Caribbean. We poetically highlight the importance of love and kindness from those around us, as well as the possible repercussions of the illness on social and family life. As an artist and writer, it's important for me to engage with issues that universally affect our society, such as mental health in this specific case. Okay.
Who's the writer?
She's the writer.
You're the writer?
Yeah.
I'm inspired by that because I'm a poet as well. And what you mentioned, I have written on as well, mental illnesses.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Anything you want to add?
No, already done.
And then you, anything you want to add about yourself or your film?
I can add that it's all about seeing what it's like above us, what he all has to do, and for the height of it, I'll give the first three words. Was it the black hole? Was I the vortex? Because the infant is lost, vertically twisted from being lost within myself. And if all of it was done on green screen, there is no location. I grabbed the stock footage that just meant where he was going and landing all the way to the tree of life.
Mm. Very interesting. Well, thank you all. Merci.
Merci à vous.
And I'm looking forward to seeing the films. I live two blocks away from the Culch, I'll be there this weekend.
Okay. That's great.
Thanks again to Céline Bernabé and Kevin Macedo, to Marco Ashley Dixon, and to Marlo Brown for joining me for that roundtable discussion about their films, which are all playing at the Vancouver Black Independent Film Festival starting tonight, October 30th, and running until Saturday, November 1st at the Culch. You can go to vbiff25.eventive.org to buy tickets, or you can show up at the Culch in East Vancouver and grab those tickets. Okay, now we are going to pivot to my conversation with Min about our respective trips to Japan and a little bit of talk about the Superman movie and Superman figurines, etc. We're not going to get the whole thing, but we'll hear most of it here. Hello, Min. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Rene?
Pretty good, pretty good. Just got back from my trip to Japan.
What have you been doing there?
Lots of things, lots of touristy things.
You visited Tokyo first, right?
Yeah, I was in Tokyo and then in Sendai. And from Sendai, we went up to Yamagata and Zao Onsen. And then we went down to Kyoto and did a day trip to Osaka from there. And then we went up to a small town called Kinosaki Onsen, which is like a town with six different onsen in it. And then we went back to Tokyo for a few days. So big, long trip.
Right. Many cities you have been.
Yeah. Got a good taste, a good mix of the big cities and some smaller towns, and it was good.
Can you tell me what are some specific things that you really like in each city? What do you do in that impress you first when you came to Tokyo?
Well, in Tokyo, when we got there, we stayed in Asakusa. So we were right near Sensoji, the big temple.
Was that place convenient to travel around?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like almost everywhere in Tokyo is pretty convenient to travel to. We were, a 5 to 10 minute walk from two different big subway stations, so it was easy to get wherever we wanted.
Okay. I was in Japan at the end of April and to beginning of May for around 10 days in Tokyo, and I stayed at a hotel in Nibori Station, so very close by. Also around 5 minutes walking, and the train station actually connects to the airport. There's a train that go directly to the airport back and forth, so it's just so easy to take a train to travel around. It's usually just harder for people to go from the airport to their hotel. I pay quite a cheap price for my hotel too, around I split the price with my friend. I pay around $50, and I think it's $50 a night, and I think it's include breakfast, and the room's just so spacious. We have a twin bed. I don't know, I would say like a bed on top of a bed.
Bunk bed.
Bunk bed, yeah. We have that room for around 7 days. And we switched to a room where we sleep on the floor, like in the Japanese movies and TV show. What would you call that room?
Well, I know when we did that, we were staying at a ryokan, which is the sort of like a traditional inn, but sort of like the tatami mats. And,
Just put a futon
mattress on the floor.
Yeah, and they just sleep on the floor. It's actually better to just stay in a room with a bunk bed, save more space. There's more space for us to go around and put our stuff in than in a room with a mattress, and it's just so hard to walk around, especially my friend when he went out to bars and came back late at night.
Yeah.
They have to walking around, and I can hear his sound on his footstep when I was sleeping. And after that, our hotel is also close by to 7-Eleven and a street market. They sell a lot of the street food we can try, and there's also a restaurant or just a small coffee. I'm not really sure what they call it. Maybe just a small restaurant.
Like a cafe. Right?
Not exactly a cafe, because they serve you a lot of food, actually. Mm. Even though it's not really a big scale. Generally for people who stay in that hotel. And I come downstairs and talk with other travelers from many different countries. Make some new friends too. So I just really like that hotel that I stay. It's called Sakura Hotel Nibori.
Nice.
What about your hotel? Do they also have that much accommodation?
We stayed in a few different, right, in the different places we stayed.
I know hotels in Tokyo, they generally they're really expensive.
Yeah, I think ours was about $100 a night.
For two people?
For two people, yeah.
So ours. Yeah, I think about the same price.
And, you know, it was a smaller room, but just one bed for my girlfriend and I to share, and, you know, like a shower and a toilet and a little desk. But we spent most of our time out and about anyway, so the room just needed to be big enough for us to sleep in, and that was plenty.
Okay. 2 years ago, I also traveled to Japan with my family. That was our first trip, and we stay in three different hotels. One of them is in Osaka, but the other two were in Tokyo, and they were just so small that we barely have the space to go around. And they also only have one bed, and it wasn't big enough for me, my mom, and my little brother, so I actually have to sleep on the floor for a few days.
Yeah.
And They didn't have a cafe downstairs too. Oh no, I think they have like a room, if I remember correctly, where the we also have breakfast included in our booking, and they were a buffet, just a buffet every day. You can eat whatever you want, but there's a time limit. They're gonna clean up at 12 o'clock maybe.
Oh wow! So, yeah, ours. One of the first hotel we stayed at in Tokyo had like a breakfast buffet, but it wasn't included. Like we would have to pay for extra. It. Yeah. So we did that one morning, just to sort of see what it was like. But most mornings we went out and got our own food. But also the breakfast closed at 9:30, so we had to be up very early if we were gonna eat and be out of there in time. So most of the time we slept a little bit later, grabbed coffee, and then got breakfast somewhere out.
Most of the store that we visit, or maybe attractions, they open at around 12 o'clock until 8 o'clock. So kind of wake up early and then we go sleep late too. Mm-hmm. I know we woke up late and then we go into sleep late. And my best choice for breakfast would usually fit in 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta know that foods in 7-Eleven in Japan are very diverse and creative,
so much better than here.
So many choices, yeah. So many offers, and recipes.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, after I check in our hotels in both trips, I would go to Akihabara right away.
Yeah,
first, it's just famous for having all kind of nerdy merchandise, geek stuff you can find there. Right?
I went into Radio Akihabara.
Radio Kaikan.
Radio Kaikan. Yeah,
that's a famous building too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find something unique there?
I found a couple things. Mostly, I found like a cool Godzilla toy for my nephew. Cool. And a Anpan Man doll for my niece, a few little bits and pieces. But I'm not much of a figurine or action figure collector, so I didn't grab anything major for myself.
You know Anpan Man, though?
Yeah, well, so we visited my friend Satomi, who lives in Zao Onsen. And her daughter was obsessed with Anpan Man, and she told us all about him. So we figured we would try to get my niece hooked as well.
Yeah, for those listeners who don't know about this character, Anpan Man is some kind of Japanese mascot.
Mm-hmm.
I think he also has a cartoon, but it's really old, and I only know it because it's quite a popular cultural icon in Japan. Not much in other countries though. I just know about it because I watch plenty of anime.
Mm-hmm.
And his concept is supposed to be a superhero with Anpan is a Japanese kind of bread.
Yeah. He's like got a head that's
with bread superpower.
Yeah,
it's kind of silly.
But
children like it. So I also visit Radio Kaikan a few times, and I just found some of the new just anime action figures. Usually they're around $60.
Mm-hmm.
Just very rare, and maybe I just bought things when I can not really find any cheaper deals in other store.
Yeah.
In Tokyo. And I just usually I visit the Mandarake store. It's a very popular, famous second-hand store for merchandise too.
That's actually where I found Anpan Man, was in the Mandarake store.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it was a few more minutes walking away from the Radio Kaikan building.
Mm-hmm.
The building was right in front of the station, and I have to walk to Mandarake. Oh, did you find the shelf that I told you that they they sell things, Clarence for Clarence price for just only $1 for one item.
I didn't see that at that location, but I went to another Mandarake somewhere. Maybe in Shinjuku?
They have a branch in around. Shibuya.
Maybe it was Shibuya. Yeah.
Ikebukuro and Nakano.
That's probably Shibuya then. Anyway, but I did see that, and I looked through and didn't find anything that that really.
Oh, okay. I just got well, most of them are probably items from
gotcha.
Also very popular Japanese franchise. It's a superhero series called Kamen Rider.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you know about it.
Yeah,
the concept's usually some. A character who's supposed to be in the villain side, in the evil side, but choose to use their power to fight for the good side. And it's kind of a moral drama like that that's carry out the series. And the franchise is very popular in Asia, I'm sure in every Asian country. I asked many friends from just Asian countries, and they all know Kamen Rider.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least they know what it's about. Yeah. Those items can be quite valuable if you bring over here and you sell mm-hmm. them, for sure.
Oh, so, wow. Next time, I guess.
They don't... the companies doesn't... bring their choice over here because publish them into Western country seem to be too much of a budget problem for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's quite hard to. But lately, they actually trying to popularize more on their series and franchise. They're streaming some on YouTube. The latest one is also getting one new episode out every Saturday that we can watch on YouTube too.
Cool.
It's called Kamen Rider Z. It's about superhero who can travel to people's dreams when they were sleeping and help them to fight off their nightmares and monster who's trying to make their nightmare become real, and whatever they do in the dream world will affect the real locations in real life.
Right.
And you know why they call him Zed? So it's supposed to be like a wordplay from the ZZZ.
Oh, like the sleeps.
Yeah. When you're sleeping.
That's funny.
That's just something I am also catching up on too. Any other things you have found out in any other district of Tokyo? Maybe Shibuya?
We went to Shibuya and enjoyed the big crowds of people and all the billboards and all of that.
Yeah.
I bought a pair of Onitsuka Tiger shoes.
Tiger shoe?
Onitsuka Tiger. It's a Japanese brand.
It's a Japanese brand.
Yeah.
Does it actually have tiger design on the shoes, or what design does it have?
Not the ones that I got. The ones that they're just sneakers.
Okay.
My girlfriend bought a pair that has like flames on it, which look pretty cool. And
yeah, I was just so kind of startled at me mm-hmm. when I found so many people walking out of the station when I was in Shibuya.
Very busy.
I was on the... They have some walking bridge
mm-hmm.
right on top of the main road. And they connect to the station entrance and exit. And just when people coming out, it was like you're in a Universal Studio or an amusement park. Right? But it's much quieter like that. The people after people just coming rumbling at you like a wave.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you can even hear the footstep from a few distance away too.
Yeah, it's very busy. Thousands of people.
Just so surprised. Was such a busy city.
Mm-hmm.
The most of them were office men and women too. I guess they wear a suit and they carry suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Did you notice?
Yeah, lots of salary men walking around, for sure.
The billboard them is so big, and sometimes they play some 3D advertisement that look like some real cat or anime character reaching out to you.
Yeah, well, and like trucks driving around with billboards on them, and like playing songs at you, and all sorts of stuff. A real audiovisual extravaganza. Like, it was very overstimulating, for sure.
Yeah, you know, when I travel with my family, my mom was, even kind of frightened,
mm-hmm.
and she told me that she felt like having some heat stroke.
Yeah,
because so many people were there in the middle of the city.
Yeah,
and she just had to grab my hand all the time. Yeah, because she's afraid that she may fall over and people step over her. So it's such a scary experience for her.
Yeah, it can be overwhelming,
but,
for sure.
But she quite enjoyed that she found something new there.
Mm-hmm.
How it was like to be in a busy district in a very developed country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's something that an experience that I like, the closest I can think of is being in New York City, and even that felt small compared to that experience.
Yeah, I've been to New York too. It's not as a visitor when people actually try working in sync with each other, and in a wave that is gotta say that it's like a tidal wave.
You gotta move with the flow, for sure.
Did you come to Shinjuku too?
Very briefly. Like, we went, I saw the Godzilla head. And we were there during the daytime, so most of the sort of like bars and clubs and everything were closed. But it wasn't really our speed. We walked around for half an hour, and then left and went back to Shibuya at that point.
Yeah, the Godzilla head is quite close to the station too, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can actually come inside the building, come to the top floor, and actually touch the head.
Oh, wow.
And when you touch it, it's going to release some kind of stream.
Yeah, we saw it. Do that from down below on the street, but I didn't realize you could go up and.
Oh, okay. We put in a bucket list for you and also anyone who's planned to travel Japan then.
Yeah.
What about Ikebukuro?
I didn't go to Ikebukuro.
Or Nakano Station?
No, not that either. We were in Ginza because that's where our second hotel was, so we walked around there and. Where else did we go? We took a day trip down to Kamakura, which is down on the coast, just past Yokohama.
Okay.
We did a lot of walking around, so we sort of like walked from neighborhood to neighborhood a lot, and that was cool.
I just heard that if you're into clothing, Ikebukuro is a very famous fashion clothing district. Mm. And Nakano has a huge ritual market place. In actually a real mall that sell a lot of ritual items. If you're into video games, you find some old console or old watch, phones, even wines actually.
Cool.
Yeah. What about Asakusa? Have you been there?
Yeah, so the first hotel we stayed in was right on the edge of Asakusa. And so, yeah, we spent a bunch of time at Sensoji, the big shrine and the surrounding area as well, and in Kapabari, which is just sort of north of Asakusa.
Did they take your fortune telling?
Yeah, I got a bad fortune. But I tied it on the...
On the tree,
you're
supposed to.
That's
what you do. Yeah. Well, I just got moderate luck.
Hmm.
I also met there were a group of travelers also right in front of me, so we have to line up. And there were a group around 7 people, foreign traveler. They came to the shrine, also got their fortune, but they're kind of clueless about the procedure.
Right.
And I have to just kind of come up and guide them a little bit. I did my research, so I know. I know a little bit Japanese too, and gotta show them what they gotta do. And they pulled a straw, and they also got a bad luck. And also have to show them the tree where they have to hang on the bad lucks and wish for it to go away. It's just also like I would like to remind some foreign travelers to Japan that if they this is just some experience that you should only go to if you're really interested in. You can learn something more about the Asian and Japanese cultures. But if you don't, maybe you can pass it on. It's not really matter. I just also don't like that foreigner just blocking the line and also making an accommodation. They just kind of shouting at each other what they're supposed to do, and just tell hey, look around for some guidance paper, but they don't know Japanese, so.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Like, it took me was like I did a little bit of research ahead of time too, and I knew exactly what to do.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's good advice. That if you're interested in it, you should do a little research. I found with a lot of things for the trip, it was really beneficial for me to have spent a little bit of time ahead of time reading about, you know, what the best way to do something was, what the appropriate way was to do something, what the right way to do certain things was, so that I could follow the procedures when I got there and do it all the right way.
All
right, well, that's going to be it for my conversation with Min. We'll save Superman for another day, and we're just going to leave off with that exciting experimental instrumental. Something completely different from the B-side of that Weed single. This is Turret. My first time hearing it. Maybe yours too, live on the radio here. Democracy Now! Is up next. Thanks for hanging out with me here on Speak Up. I'm Jesse. I'll be back next week for Fun Drive, which starts next week. Fun Drive. Fun Drive. Fun Drive.